yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
I want to be speaking tonight and tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. And I'm going to be charting a certain course, which I don't know whether it will be very impressive to you. But I know something can be impactful, though it's not impressive. So I thank God this is an impact convention, not impression convention. So I think I will be all right. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on what I call the fierce and the feeble. The fierce and the feeble. Somebody who is weak, that is a feeble person. So I'm going to be dealing with the fierce and the feeble. Tomorrow morning, I will deal with the favored and the forgotten. And then tomorrow night, I will deal with the forceful and the faint. I want to bring to our attention some categories of people. The feeble, the forgotten, and the faint. So in three sessions, tonight I deal with the feeble. Tomorrow morning, I deal with the forgotten. And tomorrow night, I handle the faint. And there are many people here today who will fall under those categories. Many people listening to me online, by radio, internet radio, television, people that are feeble, and it looks like the fears just ride over them. People that are forgotten, the favored celebrate their victory, whilst the forgotten languish in jails and in hospitals and in homes. And in the night, we will look at the faint, the people that are fainting, and there is nobody to take hold of their hand and lift them up. I believe that making impact is all about our ability to reach out to the vulnerable in society. Many years ago, in 1993, I wrote a book called God's End Time Militia. Towards the end of the book, I wrote a chapter I called The Ongoing Revolution. And in the ongoing revolution, I got to the end of the thing and I said, I see a love revolution coming to the face of the earth. By 2005, I started preaching love revolution. And then 2006, I wrote a book called The Love Revolution. And with time, the love revolution became like the signature of my life. When you come into most of the environment in which I live, you will see a lion and a lamb vividly displayed. A huge lion and a lamb standing by the lion, and the lion is not consuming the lamb. That is the kind of life I see coming into the world. A time when the lion and the lamb can stay in the same environment and the lion will not prey on the lamb. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 11, the verse number 6 to 9, God opened the eyes of the prophet and the prophet saw a vision. He saw an imagery of the kingdom of the Messiah during the millennial rule of Christ. He saw Mount Zion, the seat of the government of the Messiah. He described what he saw on the mountain and he said, in those days, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, the young lion, the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. He said, the cow and the bear shall feed and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. I like the verse number 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. If I brought a lion here and I brought a lamb and I told you to choose which of them you want to become, I'm sure many of you will say you want to become a lion because you want to scare somebody. You want to eat up somebody. You don't want to be vulnerable. Our world is full of everybody trying to look stronger. When you go into the gym, you see people trying to get six pack muscles. Sometimes I see these macho men and I ask them, Udikwahi, where are you going with this? You see, everybody is trying to look like a bully. And in the world order today, some of us are called the third world, the weak part of the world. Some nations bully others. They use their power to bully others. You come into the business world. Some of the businesses are so fierce, so powerful, so elaborately branded that if you want to survive in business, it's very difficult. For example, if you got into making soft drinks to sell or to export, how are you going to compete with the Coca-Colas and the Fantas and the so on and so forth? They are too powerful. The world is made of the powerful and the weak. Clear distinctions. You come into our nations is the same. Accra is powerful. Bogatanga and other places are placed somewhere else. You come to Africa. When you mention Lagos, it's a very powerful thing. You mention Accra, it's a very powerful thing. You talk about Freetown, and Freetown is still struggling to be free. Still struggling to recover from the ruins of war and bombardments and troubles. We are sitting here today. We look so beautiful, so nicely organized, but you think about Aleppo. You are thinking about bombardments night after night. The other day, Bishop told us, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. And it shall come to pass in those days, I'll pour out my spirit on my servants and my handmaid. But if you watch it, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Yet, when God is pouring out the spirit and the outpouring is coming, I see in the last days the outpouring of knowledge, the outpouring of power, and the outpouring of financial power. So we see the outpouring of knowledge, the outpouring of finances, and the outpouring of supernatural power. Ladies and gentlemen, in the days of the outpouring of the knowledge, most of the powerful educational institutions are beyond the reach of the poor. You cannot go into some of the schools where the knowledge is if you don't have some kind of money. So then we see an outpouring of knowledge in a world that is plagued with inequalities. We see in our world and in our time where the wealth is in the hands of few people. We see in our time where even the anointing is in limited circulation. The anointing circulates among who can access where the greatest careers of the anointing are. But I see a day coming, like the mountain that Isaiah saw, where the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. A time is coming. There is hope for you. It will not be how strong you are. It will not be how weak you are. You see, in the great outpouring, I see something. Zechariah said in Zechariah 10:1, he said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and so shall the Lord make bright clouds and give unto them rain to every one grass of the field. Watch this, to every one grass of the field. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, not some flesh. That means if the flesh is weak, the spirit will come upon the flesh. He said, upon every one grass of the field. The grass does not have to be tall to have the rain. Even if the grass is little, underneath, under grass, grasses. The anointing and the power and the knowledge and the wisdom shall reach it. I don't know what corner of the world you are hiding in. I don't know how tall you are. I don't know how big you are. But wherever you are hiding in life, may the anointing and the outpouring locate you. Come on, scream like your voice is yours and thank God. So, every one grass of the field, you listen to the Messiah's words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, the feeble, to heal the brokenhearted, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But people, these days, the anointings don't even get to the vulnerable. So you know what happens? In the outpouring, the knowledge, the anointing, the financial power. When we get it, we use it to oppress others instead of free them. Then number two, the few among us that are very smart, they get access to these things. And those of us who don't have the high IQ and who are not strategically positioned never get access to anything. But Isaiah, thank God, he saw a mountain. This imagery concerns the millennial rule of Christ. But I believe that every state of perfection in our time of restoration, even before the state of perfection arrives, if you are spiritually sensitive, you can have a preview or a foretaste of the thing before the perfect state comes. So I pray in the name of Jesus. This mountain is going to be on Mount Zion. But in your house, may that be the condition. In your church, may that be the condition. In Ghana, may that be the condition. In Africa, may that be the condition. May the lion and the lamb lie together. May the leopard and the kid lie together. May children be able to play on the hole of snakes. Receive that environment in your house in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, shout a yes and praise God. Thank you. The world order is very interesting. It's sad. So everybody is trying to do something to look macho. You have to get a gun, otherwise you can't survive. You need dogs, otherwise you cannot survive. You yourself must change your temperament in order to survive. The day when people who are temperamentally calm have a chance in life is over. People are metamorphosing on a daily basis. They are trying to change into something they are not. Because you see, you must look some way in order to survive. Somebody called it the survival of the fittest. That is the world in which we are. You cannot survive by being truthful. You cannot survive by being humble. You cannot survive by being forgiving. You cannot survive by being loving. Everybody must be aggressive. Go on our roads. Unless you can speed, cross the line, do something strange, you cannot arrive at your destination. But Isaiah said, the time is coming. I said, the time is coming. When the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. A time is coming the cow and the bear shall feed. A time is coming when the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. Three things come up in this scripture. Number one is leading. Everybody say leading. So we have three things. Leading, feeding, and playing. Everybody say leading. Everybody say feeding. And everybody say playing. Let me take the leading first. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf, the young lion, the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now people, this wolf is noted for deceit, mischief, and treachery. An animal which is smaller than the lion and the tiger, but swifter than both of them. Noted to kill, not just to satisfy its thirst, but in order to control territory. Because leopards are known to control territory. And in Bible times, they control the Syrian territory, mountains. They will just go into the mountains, and leopards will control the system, and nobody can enter. You are dealing with a system of unprecedented monopoly, where people monopolize an area, nobody can enter. If you want, you go into a system or a town which already has some existing churches. You also attempt starting a church, and you will know that there are leopards in the place. No, because they have a business in that place, nobody can survive there. In our families, it is there. Big Brother has decided he's the only one who will succeed. Anybody who attempts, he will shoot you down. Our lives are full of domination, occupation, monopoly. Control the system. Make sure nobody else can survive. So you go into many of the nations, one or two universities. No other university can survive. Go into our cities and our towns. One man of God, nobody else can raise his head. You see, it's called domination. It's control. This is my territory. I am the leopard. Nobody can come here. Then it says the calf, the young lion, the fatling, together, a little child will lead them. So you see a little child, and the child is leading the wolf, leading the leopard, leading the calf, leading the young lion, and the fatling. Now, can you imagine your five-year-old, if they brought a lion and a leopard, fatling, calf, young lion, and they told you, allow your five-year-old son to lead them? No, you know what? You tell him, this is suicide for my son. It's not going to happen. But the reason this child can lead these animals is because supernaturally, God has tamed the animals. The lion looks like it's a lion, but it's no longer a lion, because the destructive tendencies and the cannibalistic instincts and the carnivorous instincts of the leopard and the wolf and the bear have been taken away from them. So, a little child can lead them because they are domesticated. I see a season of domestication coming. I see a time of peace. Listen, your wild wife will be domesticated. Your wild husband will be domesticated. Your wild sons and daughters will be domesticated. Your wild leader will be domesticated. I announce a change of culture, a culture of coexistence. The white and the black in the same place. The Greek and the Jew. The male and the female. I announce a season. A change of culture. Like on that mountain. I see lions and wolves and children and snakes on the same mountain. We will be different. Diametrically opposed. But we are not destroying one another. We are cooperating with one another. Achieving the results one together, one with another. Because one shall chase 1,000. But two shall put 10,000 to flight. You don't have to be like me for us to fight a common war. When you are different from me, I am a lion, but you are a lamb. Together we can win. When I come to my own house, I look at my wife. My wife is like a lamb. She looks very gentle. My wife is very calm. I look like a lion. I'm on the wild side of life. I was born a Pepe man from the northern part of Ghana. I was raised in Sabonsogo. I was born in the army barracks. I am of the wild kind. But my wife is like a lamb. But when you come to my house, the lion and the lamb, we dwell together. We don't attempt to destroy one another. I see a new culture in your house. I see you in a house where you are dwelling together. Receive that peace in the name of Jesus. Come on, scream like your voice is God. The animals will be tamed. Stop trying to change people. You will fail. This mountain is God's mountain. God will change them. When God decides a lion cannot roar, it cannot roar. When God decides that a leopard cannot kill, the animal that the leopard cannot kill. Today in your house, every lion, every leopard, every bear, every snake, they are denied the power to kill or to destroy, because the mountain is the Lord's and God has decreed. Did you say a decree has gone forth? A decree has gone forth that they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord and the world has covered the sea. Come on, scream. Look at us. There are children who can't go home because their father is a terror. Nephews who cannot go home because of a wild uncle. Husbands scared of wives. Wives scared of husbands. Younger pastors scared of senior pastors. Oh, I'm talking about a world where the populace are afraid of politicians. I'm talking about a place where the subjects are afraid of their own chiefs. But I see Almighty God. Ayakaha, ye kenene moshe kabia, ya doma sinde akanda. I see God in the lion's den, and I see Daniel, and they are bringing Daniel to the lion's den, and Daniel is not afraid, because God Almighty will silence the lion. He will shut the mouth of the lion. And Daniel is in the lion's den. And the king came and said, Daniel, has God kept you? He said, my God has sent his angel, and I shut the mouth of the lion, and the lion has not hit me. Today, in the name of Jesus, every lion is disarmed. Every leopard is disarmed. Every snake is disarmed. They cannot hurt you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn it. Come on, scream like your voice is yours. Pray. So, look at Daniel. In the lion's den, God tamed the lion. Look at Jesus. Mark chapter 1, baptized. And after being baptized, the Bible said the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And Jesus was tempted by the devil for many days. But watch this. The Bible said Jesus was with the wild beast. Wild beast. And none of the wild beasts could destroy Jesus. The Lord told me, he said, notably among the beast was the serpent. I've never read in the Bible or heard somebody say the serpent was there. But the Lord told me, if the serpent was in the garden with the first Adam, then the last Adam is in the wilderness with wild beasts. The serpent must be there. This time not alone, but with a company of wilder animals. And the devil thought, you know what? Now I am the serpent. I'm going after him. Even with only the serpent, the first Adam couldn't handle it. Now the last Adam, I am taking a company of other wild beasts with me. We will overcome. But when they came, 1,000 fell on his side. 10,000 on his right hand. It did not come nigh him. Jesus was with a wild beast. And the wild beast did not hurt him. I know there are too many dangerous people around you. Witches and wizards, diviners and magicians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the Greek he said, you wrestle not against the archers, and you don't wrestle against the exousias, and you don't wrestle against the cosmocratopas, and you don't fight against the pneumatic aponerias. You have to listen to me. Though you walk in the flesh, you do not war after the flesh. The weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal, but
they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Receive this one now. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they will take up serpents, they will speak in new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Receive the power to take up serpents. Receive the power to take up serpents. Receive the power to take up serpents. Witchcraft power, divination power, necromancy, enchantment. No divination against you, no enchantment against you. Come on, scream like your voice is yours. Pray. The wild beast will be tamed. That is why a little child can lead them. Sometimes when I go into a ministry and they are looking for a very anointed leader. Now, sit down. Let me tell you this and continue. Let me tell you this and continue. Let me throw this message. 20 years from now, and see how many of you are prophetic enough. Here is the prophecy. The generation of leaders of the charismatic churches we see today, we will not see them again. What I mean is, you will never see in another generation another Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. God gave you one, just like we saw one Jesus, and after that, there was not another Jesus. The one who will finally take over one day from Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams will not be as anointed, will not be as powerful, will not carry the clout and control the clouds that this great man of God, our Father, carries. Now, don't shout yet. Don't shout. Any leader that will come after him, just like there was one Moses, and after the Moses, the other one was a Joshua, who was not a prophet, he was a soldier. Watch this, don't clap. No, you are not there yet. The ones to take over from all these Dr. Ampia Kofis, Archbishop Duncan Williams, Bishop Takia Boyce, Bishop John Francis, they will be less anointed, less graced. They will be like little children. But the only way we can follow them is if God changes our hearts. And the leopards and the wolves and the young lions, all of them decide there is a culture that rules over all of us. There is a law that rules all over us. Our leader does not have to be super anointed and super powerful. Even if he's a child, we will follow him. So, the one that took over from the mighty David was a little boy called Solomon. But the Adonijahs and the Absaloms and the Joabs who refused to be changed, they were phased out. Because you know what? At a time when a certain leadership of a little child comes, people must be changed to follow. When I left the leadership of our ministry, Reverend Clement Ancheba took over from me. I'm not comparing, but he's not like me at all. I can see about 20 visions in 20 seconds. No, they come to me like pictures. When he took over from me, he told me, he said, Abochi. Abochi means my friend. He said, Abochi, those your eyes, I don't have them. I said, thank you, sir. This kind of eyes, it's not everybody who has them. You see the business you are doing, when you leave, there will be no another managing director like you or another CEO like you. The ones that will take over must understand that lions cannot continue to be lions. Wolves cannot continue to behave like wolves. Leopards cannot continue to be like leopards. I'm talking about transgenerational leadership. I'm talking about, and that is why many times when very charismatic people, lead a movement and their time is over, the systems collapse because the lions refuse to change. But may God bring you to a place where in your family, one day when your daddy is not there and your mommy is not there, even if a little child is elected to lead the rest of the family, the rest of you will line up and say, we will follow the leadership of this little child. Come and clap and scream like your voice is yours and pray.
So you see, when it comes to leadership, everybody's trying to be strong in order to lead. Lord, I need some strange, serious anointing to be a leader. On this mountain, a little child is leading. And the little child is leading lions, leopards, wolves, bears. And they say, let's follow him. God has appointed him. Let's follow him. May the Lord grant us that wisdom. That simplicity. If you can clap your hands, your family will receive it. And your business will receive it. And your ministry will receive it. In the name of Jesus. Come and scream like your voice is yours. Press. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the mountain, leadership is the number one thing. Leading. Because without leading, there is no nation, there is no continent, there is no ministry, there is no vision, there is no dream. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf, the young lion, the fatling. Together. The key is that together. They must be together. Black or white. Baptist or Methodist. They must be together. Young or old, they must be together. Watch this, the calf, the young lion, the fatling, together, young or old. Lion, calf, young child, different species of creation, Homo sapiens and other animals on the same mountain. It doesn't matter how little you are. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your educational level. God owns the mountain. When he says a little child should lead us, we submit to the leadership of the little child. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Our world is blessed with very great leaders. The only thing is that we are likely to fall short or come short when they have to pass on the baton. Because we may make a mistake and think that the people who will take over from them will be as strong as they are. But you may get there and realize that no, it will be a test of our humility. Leading, leadership. Leadership. Number two, feeding. The cow and the bear shall feed. And their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the bear. We are talking about feeding. And feeding, you have food, accommodation, security, and all the basic things human beings need. We call them the basic requirements or the basic necessities of humankind. And he's saying that the cow and the bear shall feed. In other words, where the bear is, the cow will also be there. So let me give you an example. I see a laborer living in Trasaco Valley. You didn't shout an amen. I see a laborer with a house in Trasaco Valley. You can understand that one better. I see a security man eating in Noble House Chinese restaurant. Am I talking to somebody? A time is coming, a change of culture. Where you go, I can go. Where you sit, I can sit there. Where you dine, I can dine there. I see you there in the name of Jesus. Where the great are, I see the intellectuals, the professors, and illiterates in the same place. I'm not a Martin Luther King, but I see a time coming where the white man is, the black man will be there. I see a time coming. If it's in Ghana, where somebody from the Volta region is, somebody in the Eastern region can be there. I see a time
coming. No walls of division. No Greek, no Jew. No slave, no bond, no free. There is a time coming, and now is where you will not ask somebody, what is your hometown? Where do you come from? Because the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, but he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. I see Jehovah mighty in battle. I see Jehovah the man of war. I see Jehovah strong in battle. He's the captain of hosts. Jehovah's about. I see him lead the army. When he says peace, there must be peace. When he says order, there must be order. Receive order in your life in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout yes.
Look at money. Money, the real money in the hands of occultists. Until you join some cause, you cannot control the millions. But the time is coming. I see ordinary children of God. Look at the day of Pentecost. The Bible said the room where they were sitting was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and cloven tongues of fire sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. A time is coming. Now is. You don't have to join a cult to get the money. You don't have to join a cult to receive some kind of anointing. You don't have to join a cult to receive an influence. And if you are a pastor under the sound of my voice, you don't have to join a cult for your church to grow. A time at your church. You don't have to do some kind of ways and means and get some kind of tricks and acrobatics and semantics for your church to grow. I see the raw power of the Holy Ghost and the raw power of the Word of God bringing success, unprecedented success. Receive an open heaven over your head in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout a yes and receive it now. Because people, where some of the monies are, some of the knowledge, some of the power, even political power, unless you use some ways and means, you cannot enter. But I see the day coming where the bears are eating, the cow go chop some. I say you go chop some. The place where they eat, you go eat there. I see you a laborer working around Osu. Around 1 p.m., you put down your shovel and your pickaxe. You are wearing your Wellington boots. And you tell your friends, Charlie, are they come? They say, where did they go? You say, are they go Noble House? Me too, at the gold Chinese restaurant in the Noble House. Me too, at the gold shop. I see you there. No man can stop you. When God shut the door, no man can open. But if God opens the door, no man can shut it. Except the Lord build a house, they never invent that building. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh but in vain. I see God bless your life in the name of Jesus. I see you in the airplane where they are sitting. You sit there. I see you move from the economy to the business class. Now I see you in the first class. The politicians are there. You are also sitting there. The businessmen are there. You are sitting there. No more barriers. No more limits. No more restrictions. By your God, you run through the troop. And by your God, you leap over the wall. Tonight, shake yourself. Break every barrier. Shake yourself. Break every limitation. Nothing can stop you. In the name of Jesus, you will eat where they eat. Come on, scream like your voice is gone. Adame Kebikata.
shall feed, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. That means what the lion is eating, the ox is eating the same thing. A time is coming. We will wear the same clothes. We will sleep in the same kind of room. You will not be different from me. Because of where you come from, and because of what you have studied, and because of your background, the time is coming. Background and opportunity, their effect will be nullified. Grace and favor will determine where we go. Come on, clap your hands like your voice is yours. Feeding. Feeding. There are some banks you cannot go. There are some of you, even when you see Access Bank, you say to Fiakwa. Because of the way the bank looks beautiful. Hey, mba. In Nigeria, we say mbano. Never, it will not happen. I see you go where you want to go. Let that intimidation leave you there. Listen, the culture has changed. The man of God set the tone. I heard a story about a Nigerian who went into a plane with economy ticket, an economy boarding pass. He got to the door, went straight to first class. But the hand luggage he was carrying told everybody, this is not a first class passenger, because first class passengers don't carry three, one hand luggage here, one hand luggage here, one head luggage, one back luggage. The man went straight to the first class, sat down. The air steward came and said, please, your boarding pass, because they suspected. They said, you belong to economy. He said, hey, I am tired. Don't disturb me. Don't disturb me. I'm tired. They did everything. This man said, you won't go. Finally, another Nigerian who was in the plane got up and came to me and said, spoke the Nigerian language. And the man got up and left. So they asked him, what did you tell him? He said, I told him that the front part of the plane is not going to Nigeria. It's going somewhere else. And then the back is going to Nigeria. Now watch this. So the man got up and left. And the man told the air steward, he said, that is what I told him, and he left. But people, I'm telling you this story. A friend of mine from Nigeria told me. You see, I'm a Ghanaian by birth and a Nigerian by choice. That is my nationality. I'm a Nigerian by choice. I like the way Nigerians are. So, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? This Nigerian got into the plane and decided his ticket or boarding pass will not determine where he sits. Listen, there are many tickets and boarding passes you received. You didn't determine them. Your mother gave birth to you. You were black. You didn't even know how black. They gave birth to you. You are a Pepe man from the north. You don't know how it came about. They gave birth to you in Tamale. You couldn't have changed it. Gave birth to you in Bogatanga. You couldn't have changed it. Jesus was born in a manger, but he couldn't change it. But when he died and rose from the dead, he could change where he would go. You were born in a manger, but now you are born again, like Jesus is begotten from the dead. Don't go back to the manger. Your place is in heavenly places, in the seat of Christ, far above principalities and powers. Come on, scream. Now, so this Nigerian man decided, they've given me boarding pass economy, but when I get to the plane, I'm going to the first class. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first class. Welcome to the land of opportunity. Welcome to the place. Listen, and when they tell you this front part of the plane is going somewhere else, tell them the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Wherever it is going, I will sit in it. If I perish, I perish.
I am sitting right here. I'm going wherever this thing is going. Come on, scream here. Yeah.
Sit down.
On the mountain. On the mountain. There is leading. Then there is feeding. And then number three, there's playing. In every human existence, we need the opportunity to play. There's leading. It's serious business. Feeding is necessity business. Playing is recreational business. And in every nation, you need these three components. You need the leading, you need the feeding, and you need the playing. Now, this is where I want to be ending soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you are entitled to play, to smile, to rejoice. Listen, you are entitled to your own portion of happiness in your heart. Don't let anybody rob you of your happiness. Listen, if the snakes occupy the hole, go and play there. If the cockatrice then is a barrier, break through and also play. You are entitled to play. He said the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. The asp is the Egyptian cobra. The cockatrice is the horned viper. You have the audacity and permission to go to the holes of snakes and play. Henceforth, any snake that used to harm you cannot harm you again. Receive it! Receive the grace to also play. Look at us. Look at me. Now look at me. 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 We have a nation today and a world where you cannot even say a good joke because your joke will be used to crucify you. We have families where you cannot joke with your own husband or wife. Hey, you dare not tell your husband your long legs. Restrictions everywhere. Phones have password. Even the bed has a password. Your husband's pocket has a password. Everything is under lock and key. Too many restrictions. When I look at children playing on the hole of snakes, I see number one, invasion. I see the invasion of one another's territory. That means, you know what? I know this is your territory. This is your space. You are Mr. Snake, but please permit me to play there. Permit me to take your iPad and play again. I see invasion. Invasion. I see intimacy. I see a child putting the hand in the hole of a snake. Intimacy. We have societies and communities. I don't know you. You don't know me. We are in the church, but you are too private. I'm too private. I don't know you. There's nothing intimate. I have asked a certain wife before, what is your husband's birthday? She said, I don't know. They had been married for about 10 years. She doesn't know his birthday. Invasion. Intimacy. Indulgence. Allow me to play a little bit. Just let me crack a joke and not be afraid. You will use my joke to crucify me. Don't make me overcautious in your environment. You are scaring me.
Karabashobo. Sida meseferi kaba. Oh glory. Kadabrane meferi kaba.
Can you permit me to be innovative without being afraid that if I make a mistake, you will kill me? Am I allowed to make a mistake? Listen, this preacher would never have been who I am if this great archbishop has not allowed me to make mistakes. No, there's no way I could have been. Because I remember a young preacher, 28 years old, standing on a pulpit, believing God for affirmation. My first sermon, he didn't kill me. After the first sermon, he said, "Israel, you are coming back here for revival." I said, "Nyame afreme. God has called me. Because if this man of God calls me back here, it means God has called me." Ladies and gentlemen, why are you not allowing people to be innovative? And innovation will go with mistakes. I tell you, children playing on the hole of snakes will make mistakes. The final thing about the playing is that I see innocence. The child is playing at the hole of the snake and he's not afraid the snake will bite him. Listen, don't let my innocence make me a victim in your territory. I'm not as smart as you are. I have a friend of mine, he's a prophet. He tells me, every day he says, "Pastor Eastwood, you are too innocent." Because there is some kind of intelligence I don't have. The intelligence where I must be talking to you and weighing everything I'm saying. Sifting everything I'm saying. And I have to be doing editing of what I'm saying, though I'm not an editing machine. Listen. Don't kill me because of my innocence. The serpent was there. Eve was there. Eve was innocent. But before long, the serpent used Eve's innocence to nail her. Many wives cannot be innocent in marriages. Many men cannot be innocent. Innocence does not work in our world anymore. Let me conclude like this. Let me conclude like this. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon! Simon! Satan just brought in a requisition of the meal he wants to take this afternoon. And when the waiters asked him what the meal he wanted or the meal he was ordering was, he desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to this convention by the grace of God to talk to the vulnerable. Today, I'm talking to the feeble. Tomorrow morning, I will talk to the forgotten. Thank you. Thank you. Come here. Who said forgotten? Come here. Come. Come here. Come here. Come. Father, wherever she is forgotten, let her be remembered. Arabashi. And tomorrow night, I'll talk about the faith. Let me close with this story. You see, the house in which we are is a house that allows the leopard and the kid to dwell together. the set man of the house. He has a heart for the vulnerable and the weak. You know, I used to come to Action, and the place looked like too much for me. One day I came, he said, "Eastwood, will you come and preach on Wednesday?" I said in my head, "Me? This must be a joke." Bogatanga, preach in Action. This was in 1989. This is 1989. Now listen, for many people who relate to Dr. Paula White, there are people like me he will never call. Not even a phone call. If you call him, he won't pick. But Papa will get on the phone with everybody. I was talking to Prophetess Betty King. She said, "You know what, Eastwood, that man is different." I said, "What?" He said, "You call him anytime. If he doesn't see the call, he will call you back." She said, "Pastor Eastwood, that is honor. That is honor. Where we sit, you may see this place so nice. You may think it's all about what you are seeing. But the reason why God gives us all these things you are seeing is because behind the scenes, there is something called Action in Compassion. Where this ministry is taking care of drug addicts who have been rejected even sometimes by their own families. And this ministry takes them in, rehabilitates them, repairs them, and sends them back into the world. You go to some of our villages, schools are meeting under trees. Nobody even stops there to say hello. Action will go and supply them educational material. On this same premises is a hospital facility to take care of the sick. Ladies and gentlemen, in life, it is not how far you travel that is important, but how many people you carried with you on your way in that journey. Recently, over the past about 1 month, my hero in life is a certain woman called Mma Asampana. Everybody say Mma Asampana. Mma Asampana. I was preaching in Bogatanga in the first week of November in a program called Possessing the Land Rally. I was standing in the front of the church when I saw... Now, this is Bogatanga. My passion, my heart, my spirit, everything about me is Bogatanga. You dissect me from any angle. The blood that will flow in it will have a laser indication. Bogatanga. So I'm preaching in Bogatanga and I minister, and the power of God moved, and I saw a woman come to the front of the church limping. She was crooked. Illiterate woman, very poor. I said, "Mma, Mama, come here." She came. I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Mma Asampana." "Where do you live?" She couldn't articulate what she was saying. Finally, she mumbled something. And I said, "I want to receive an offering for this woman." People gave me monies. I called for monies. They gave them to me. Up to 2,000 Ghana cedis. Now, this is a woman who has never seen 10 Ghana cedis together. So 2,000 Ghana cedis was like the whole world. So I asked, "What work do you do?" She said she picks a palm kernel from the lump, and then they pay her 1 cedi a day. So I instructed they should set a business for her. Set up a business for her. The following day, I sent some of my people to go to a village and look at where she stays. When they got there, they realized her husband died many years ago. And all the children she produced, they had died. So she had no child, no husband. And she was in a room, and the room collapsed. And she left. Now staying in a place which is not her room, but... people weave in that room during the daytime, and in the night, she goes to sleep there. When they brought me the report, I went back to the church in the night and I said, I need 7 people to build a house for this woman. 7 people stood in front of me. As I speak to you now, after just 1 month, the house is at the lintel level. Then we put the woman on monthly remittance. And I said, not again. Every month, she's on some allowance financially to keep her. And then we are setting up the business for her. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Our lives, our families, our nation, our businesses are full of people like that. May God give us a mountain, a Ghana, a nation. When you sit in church and give an offering with the kind of Father God has given us in this house, it will amaze you. People don't know we use money to do things like this. But that is what your money will do. Your tithe, your offering, your giving, the commitment you make to God's house. These are the things they will do. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow night, I will preach to you something about God empowering us to do the good Samaritan work, the things he has called us to do. But I want everybody to stand tonight. Stand up tonight. Lift up your hand to Jesus. There are many people here today who feel very vulnerable in life. In my own family, I had a sister who was ostracized. Bishop Francis, she couldn't go anywhere. When she's coming to me, she has to ask permission from some of my brothers and sisters to let her come. And they would restrain her from coming. At a point, I gave her the liberty. I said, you know what, sister? Anytime you want to come to me, though you don't look very correct, you just come. Because I realized that if she had to depend on the rest to come to me, they would never. Lift up your hand. There are many people in this building. You can't go near your pastor. You can't go near your brother. You can't go near a politician. You can't go near anybody. You are too weak and too feeble. Lift up your hand. Let him work. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, restoring wasted years. I worship you.
Blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop, located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.